Jody Crumpy, director of the Erie City Mission Thrift Stores and Donation Center. When you shop at one of our two thrift stores or drop off items at our donation center, you are providing a meal. You are housing a man in our shelter, helping men and women overcome addiction, and giving our inner city youth an opportunity to learn. I want to thank you for making a difference. This is our city, our mission. God bless you.
All year round, Frontier Home Products and Design has what you need to make your home comfortable and beautiful. Relax on a new timber tech deck designed by Frontier's experts. A new fireplace from Frontier Home Products Fireplace Gallery adds warmth and serenity to any home. Beauty and versatility at Frontier Home Products and Design Center, 4213 Peachtree, 5th next to the Bayfront Highway.
Frontier Home Products and Design Center. Discover a new frontier.
PA contractor number PA039007.
Welcome to TalkErie.com's Joel Natale Show, Erie, Pennsylvania's daily podcast. Every day, we tackle the biggest issues that the Erie, PA region faces. Stay informed and involved as we advance the narrative of Erie. Now, here's Joel Natale.
Why don't I introduce our guest, John C. Lyons, a local filmmaker here in Erie, Pennsylvania. John, welcome to the show. We're so glad you're here, buddy.
Hey, thanks for having me back.
We absolutely love it when you come on the air here. You've taught us so much about the filmmaking ecosystem.
Yeah, industry.
In the industry in Erie. And, you know, what's weird is it's one of those things that I know just enough to be dangerous about. And, so I am absolutely enthralled that that we really have a burgeoning film industry. And can we do a quick shout out for Walker Scobell?
Oh, sure.
You know,
our
Fairview based actor.
Big deal. Yeah.
What is he now? 14?
Yeah. Just a young guy. He's got a full career going. Pretty
it's
awesome.
Amazing.
Pretty
and
awesome.
It's so cool to see Walker now getting posted for the second season of Percy Jackson. Basically, the bigwigs at Disney are really depending on that young guy to kind of move some dollars for him.
Yeah, that's what you want. You want to get into a series, right? And you want to get into a series that's going to continue and have some legs. And obviously, he's doing a wonderful job. And yeah, we're all so proud. It's awesome.
It's interesting, too, that the amount of sacrifices that it takes to do something like that, like his parents and he's got sibs, right?
Yeah.
But his parents go to LA, you know, to make sure he's getting all the proper connections with through the agent and so on.
Yeah.
It's not an easy deal.
No, it's not an easy industry at all. And yeah, I mean, he's got a huge leg up and, you know, obviously he's impressing the right people and he's in with, I mean, Disney, they're pretty much the whole ecosystem, as you said, within the film ecosystem.
Right.
Disney is it. So that's huge. So huge.
I'm not going to get political, but I want you to comment on the idea of that the studios are really wrestling between their legacy assets and you know, basically ESPN, what do they call those, linear assets and their streaming assets.
Yeah.
Do you think that this is, how do you think this is going to fly as you see it from the filmmaker standpoint?
From the filmmaker standpoint, it's a little difficult. Like from the box office, you know, you're seeing a little bit of I don't know. There's a lot of franchise movies and a lot of like known IP, right? That's out there.
Which intellectual makes it, property, folks.
Yeah, sorry. Which makes it difficult for independents, you know, to get your film in a theater. It was always very difficult, right?
Right.
So, and then there was a period where when the streaming war started, so that's, you know, the Netflix and the Disney and the HBO and stuff, that there was a lot of competition to get content, as they call it. So that was a great opportunity for independents because they were all buying. But now, you know, they're kind of tightening the purse strings a little bit. They're kind of getting into franchises and known entities and stuff. So it is becoming, it's always a challenge as an independent, but it seems like it's more difficult now, even though we have more services out there.
Right.
And the services,
you would think there'd
like,
be the long tail right. working for your family.
Yes. And you feel like, I mean, for me, I remember when I cut the cord from cable and I was mm-hmm. like, oh, I'm saving so much money on just doing these streamers and just getting the shows and the movies that I want. But now I feel like I have so many streaming services that they're winning again. Like I'm yeah. back into the cable system, basically.
Yes. Yeah,
it's nuts.
And you may end up paying more.
Yeah.
Tell us about you as a filmmaker and your experience with the streaming services.
Yeah.
What were you able to get, like Unearth into
yeah.
and so on?
So Unearth was on Showtime, which
wow.
was awesome, which is a big, you know, a big known streamer.
Huge.
Which was amazing.
I'm trying to remember who owns, that's CBS owns that.
I think
Paramount.
So,
yeah.
Yes. Yeah, it's part of that mm-hmm. that whole eco. That's
right.
the other thing you're seeing, too, is a lot of these merging together, right? Paramount,
yeah. Viacom,
Warner,
Paramount,
Viacom.
Yeah.
Yep.
CBS, yeah.
Yeah, so I think more of that's going to happen as well. But yeah, so that was the big one that we got into in the U.S. There's also other streamers because we were released, actually we still are selling to more countries overseas. We've
nice.
Sold to over a dozen countries overseas, and they have their own streaming services too, of course.
Okay.
And so we're on a bunch of those as well. But the big one in North America for us was Showtime, which was
very cool. Yeah. And was that a pain in the neck to get on there, or was it kind of easy?
Well, it wasn't easy because we had a sales agent, which
okay.
was great, that was representing the film and is actually back on to represent our new film. I don't know if you want to talk about any of that stuff,
yeah,
but we have some stuff
yeah.
in the works, too.
Yeah.
And she got us into the deal. It's really hard to get into these deals. You basically need somebody to kind of be your liaison to make
Are
those things happen.
Are you being bundled?
Yeah, you can
As
be
like
bundled
an indie?
For sure. Yeah.
Hey, there's all these really cool indie films that do well in critics' corners or
yep.
film festivals. Let's bundle them and get them on a streaming
For sure.
service.
Yeah, they do it. They do it both ways.
Okay.
They do it both ways. When we got on Showtime, it was just a single deal with us, and it
yeah.
was actually a really good deal for us.
Wow.
Which was fantastic. But yeah, some of our overseas stuff have been parts of like six film sale collections,
okay.
and then you know you kind of prorate it out.
It's well, and it kind
it's
of
a business.
Begs, well, it kind of begs the question of, you know, of kind of a ad hoc,
yeah,
studio label. You know,
mm-hmm.
like okay, you're your own producer,
yeah,
but would you affiliate with someone? You know, just like all these genres, the horror genre,
yeah.
the faith based genre. There's all these genres that are coming out where
niches, yeah.
right?
Yep.
And
yeah.
you could really kind of latch in on something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, for sure. There's some filmmakers that I've been, you know, kind of meeting with on a regular basis out west that make similar films. And we're always talking about, like, maybe doing some collaborative projects in
okay.
the future and kind of doing our own thing, right? But
yeah.
put a bunch of small independent LLCs together and see if we can pool resources and make something that's kind of like a next step bigger working together.
So in journalism, we've seen how the citizen journalist is kind of, you know, is competing, let's just for lack of a better word,
yeah.
with legacy journalism. Are you seeing citizen filmmakers?
Hmm.
Again, because I consider you an absolute professional. I mean, this is what you do.
Yeah.
But are there citizen journalists or citizen filmmakers that will do shorts on YouTube or God, I mean, I guess maybe even like, on TikTok,
yeah, for
like
sure.
a 2-minute film,
yeah,
that are competing with the
yeah.
The standard.
I count all of that as film. That's a really good point. Honestly, not to get too political about journalism, but I feel like the best journalism now is done independently. That's my
yeah.
personal feeling. I feel like that's more old school, like long form, you know, actual discussion and debate. And I feel like that. A lot of ways as far as filmmaking and the arts as well is that the independent voices and the people that are kind of, you know, scraping it out with less resources, you have to get more creative and you have to be like, you know, really mm-hmm. gritty to kind of make low budget independent filmmaking.
Yeah.
So in a way, I feel like sometimes that gives you a more honest, true kind of non-filtered approach to storytelling versus if you have all of the agents and all the producers
right.
and all the notes and it kind of, you know, sometimes the big films can feel like they're kind of trying to hit all quadrants, you know, all mm-hmm. age groups, make everyone happy, and then maybe you don't make anyone happy.
Sure. Oh, yeah. Approach. Yeah. Gosh, yeah. I mean, when you're trying to do, well, I don't even understand why they call them tent poles, but when you're
right.
when you're creating one of these mega films, you're trying to go for maximum box office.
Yeah.
You're trying to make the studio's year, if not 5 years, right?
Yeah. So you can make like a 300 or $500 million movie, but it may not have teeth left mm-hmm. at that point, which isn't really the kind of film. I mean, you know, if somebody wanted to give me $100 million and say, right. you know, make this movie, sure, I would give it a shot. But I feel like it might be challenging in different ways. Right?
Sure. I think I might have asked you this before, but I have to ask you again because I love the idea of being a filmmaker and just following that passion since you were a kid. Did the Fablemans movie ring your bell?
I loved it so much. Seriously, I loved it so much. It hit me right in the heart.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like teared up a lot during that movie.
Did you really?
I really connected to it.
I thought of you.
Yeah.
Because I'm not a filmmaker. I'm a broadcaster.
But you know your stuff.
Yeah.
You know your stuff.
And I just like, oh my gosh, can you imagine being little Steven Spielberg?
Yeah. I could for sure.
You could for
yeah.
sure.
Yeah.
And just some of the super cool things he was pulling off as special effects mm-hmm. and you know, it was amazing. Yeah, folks, if you've not seen The Fablemans and you are all have an affinity to this genre, to this art,
yeah.
that's a movie to
Absolutely.
See.
Absolutely. Highly recommended.
Yeah. Yeah. And just and that's just the filmmaking part. Then there's a whole interplay between parents and
right.
parents trying to understand what their kids are all about.
Right.
And, oh, my Lord. What a great movie. Gosh.
Agreed.
All right. I do want to get to some of our stuff here. And I want you to tell me what is Tethered.
Yeah, so Tethered is the project that I have been working on for over a year with a really hardcore group of creatives based in Erie. So my wife, Jerode, and I went to New York City in December of 2022, and we saw this show called Sleep No More, which is a really famous, it's called an immersive theatrical experience.
Okay.
And this show had such an effect on me, I said, I came back and said, you know what, I wonder if I can find a group of people that might want to try and pull this same thing off in Erie. Essentially, what an immersive theatrical experience is when you go see a play or a movie or a concert. There's a clear dividing line between the audience and the stage, right?
And they call that the fourth wall,
The fourth wall.
Mm-hmm.
In an immersive theatrical experience, you as an audience member have more control over how your experience, you have more freedom to roam and explore and kind of have some interactivity sometime with the performers. So setting that up, basically, what we're doing is PACA allowed us to rent out basically the entire building for two nights. It's February 16th and 17th.
Wow,
so next,
right up.
Yeah, next Friday and Saturday, we are going to have performance spaces on all five floors. And when you enter the door, we're going to have a host. We're not going to have any sales at the door, just so you know. So get your tickets ahead of time
okay.
because there's no sales at the door. We'll have a guest list for each night. If you're on the list, you're going to come in. A host will greet you, and then they're going to take you to a random floor, your first floor, and drop you off. And then you are on your own for the rest of the time. And we have an hour-long score, an original score that was composed by Tony Gray. He's a world-renowned bassist, a musician that lives in northwestern Pennsylvania. He composed an hour-long score, and that score is what synchronizes all of the performances across all five floors. So we're going to have acting, we're going to have dance, we're going to have some film elements. And essentially, you can pop in and out of rooms across the space. And as you can imagine, no two people are really going to have the same right. experience in here. You could get into, you know, the second floor into the PACA Theater and be watching that performance. You could stay there for the whole hour if you want. Or you can jump out in the middle of it, follow a character that's moving to some other space. So essentially, it's a one-hour show that's going to loop three times each night. So 6 to 7, 7 to 8, 8 to 9. It's going to be the same performance in each individual space three times. So you're going to have a chance, if you stay all 3 hours,
right,
to see more of the show. But really, you can show up late if you want to. I wouldn't recommend it. I'd recommend getting there, 5:30, 6 o'clock, and staying as long as you want to. The last performances of the night end at 9 o'clock. But basically, it's all tied together in a theme of codependency.
Mm.
So it's about relationships. It's also about, unhealthy relationships, like relationships to substances, addiction, obsession. These are all themes that we're kind of dealing with, but it's essentially codependency. So we're going to show different relationships through either, dancing, acting, and film in all of these spaces.
It's a
huge thing.
It sounds huge. Would an amalgam of this be like Love Actually, where there's all of these storylines that are bouncing around London, and you're kind of looking in on them?
That's a good analogy. Yes, it would be like that, except you kind of decide the edit of that movie. Basically.
Oh my gosh!
You can, like I said, you can jump between floors. We're gonna have the elevator going the whole time, or you can take the stairs, and you just kind of pop in and out of spaces, float around, and just experience it.
So how does this thing get written, I guess?
Is it
written linearly, or is it written as scenically, I guess?
You basically, this is obviously not just me.
Right.
We have over 50 creative artists, and they're all being paid, by the way, for their work in this project, which was one of the goals that we set out from the beginning, because we found out that a lot of the performers in town volunteer their time at their shows, and I actually didn't know that. And we want to kind of change that culture if we can. So that was kind of a really important thing. But as far as writing, so our director and one of our writers is Adele Crotty. She's been working in the industry here for quite a while. She also has a team of Kristen Smith and Nikki Bear that have been helping her with writing, directing, things like that. Also, Niecy Nicole did some writing for us as well. But yeah, it's essentially, there's 8 different shows that are hour long that you have to either write as far as dialogue and action of the actors, or like our dance team, you have to choreograph an hour worth of material in each of these spaces as well. So yeah, as far as like a writing standpoint, you have to write each of the 8 spaces, and then some of them are going to cross over and interact with each other, because we have characters maybe going out of one space and into another space and interacting with a different character.
It does,
it's a lot of work.
It really does sound like again, for somebody who's uninitiated, it'd be like a Love Actually, where they pop out of their context into another context. Is this a new model for Erie? Again, you've been doing professional filmmaking now, but like you mentioned, most live theater is maybe other than like the dinner theater and so on, there's not a lot of people getting paid. It's a volunteer community theater. And then, of course, dance is a mixed bag. So talk about where that all is at.
Yeah, it's important, in working in the film industry, we pay everyone, on our projects that we've been doing since we've been doing it professionally.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was a bit of a shock to me to find out, because we have so much talent here, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we want to combat the brain drain, that everybody talks about. So, yeah, we wanted to find out, creatively how to do this in a way that we could ensure that everybody could be paid. And the Kickstarter, I gotta say, the people that supported us on Kickstarter really kind of proved that there was interest for this early. And that really did set us up for success to be able to get started, establish that budget, and go from there.
What do you hope people leave with after experiencing Tethered?
Yeah, I mean, we feel that in the experience, they're going to have a lot of relatable emotions, for sure. One thing that's also really important about the show is we're partnering with SafeNet. And SafeNet's going to have some safe spaces throughout, and they're going to have professionals that are kind of traveling around the spaces. And if they see that, you know, maybe somebody is triggered or feeling uncomfortable in the situation, they'll be able to step out of the experience and, you know, have a conversation and, you know, get help or get connected with somebody that might be able to help them through those things. So we know that it will be a powerful emotional experience for many. Ultimately, we hope that you go away with a feeling of hope and a feeling of understanding that we are all connected and our actions do have consequences. And, you know, treating each other with humanity and humility, and love and respect. I think that's kind of the message that I hope people take away from it, you know, that we, treat each other well, love each other. And, you know,
I like to say being a good neighbor,
being a good neighbor.
Hey, I want you to talk about the, so, you know, some of the other work that you've been doing, and then we'll get into the Oscars.
Yeah,
in a
sure.
Little bit. Yeah.
So I've been working on a couple scripts. The sequel script to Unearth, which is called Unleash, I co-wrote with another local writer, Shira Pettis. And actually, right now we are working on trying to attach a new lead actress. Mark Blucas and Allison McAtee would be back for the movie. And we're trying to attach a new lead and then sell the film to maybe even film it this summer in Erie.
Incredible.
And in yeah.
Wow. And would it be, do you think, same rural kind of setting? Or
it would be split. It'll be split between the farms and it'll be split between the city. So we would be filming a lot in downtown if it happens.
Gotta love that.
Fingers
All right.
crossed.
So, yes, absolutely. I wanted to talk about, again, when you're going to go and approach... Hey, we're gonna do an on location film in downtown Erie.
Yeah,
tell us kind of what that would take as far as personnel, equipment, budget.
Yeah, for when we did Unearth, we had a total crew of about 75 people, all paid. That's hotel rooms, that's restaurants, that's, you know, construction, that's electricity, that's everything. Not just, you know, directors and actors.
That's more than, you know, than you would have on tap for like a Celebrate Erie Main Stage performance.
Yeah,
basically.
Yep.
We think about it.
Yeah, and Unleash would be a little bit bigger budget is our goal. So I would imagine we probably would have, you know, a casting crew of like 100 people. Yeah, it would be it's real movie making.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And it would be. Yeah. So we have some great locations that we have our eyes on for downtown. So, you know, once the funding is there, then that's when myself and our other producer, Jackie George, who is also Erie based, will start knocking on doors and reaching out and seeing Erie's always a great community that always helps for filmmaking here. So. Hoping that those hearts are out there to help us make some more art.
Is it like investing? I mean, are these investors looking for return on the end?
Yeah. So, without getting into all the specifics of it,
right.
for Unearth, I don't know if we talked about this before, but I knocked on 200 doors and got 30 yeses, and that's how we were able to raise the budget for Unearth. This time, I'm trying to avoid that situation.
Yeah.
So we're doing the more traditional Hollywood model where you create a package. So we have a film that was on Showtime that was successful. That's, you know, very helpful in our package.
Yeah.
We've got directors that are proven, cast and crew that are proven. So now the idea is to attach our new actor, and then our sales agent will go out and try and pre-sell the film. To these territories, instead of doing it like raise the money first, make the product, then try and sell it. Now this is the package. Will you buy it ahead of time? We use that money to make the film.
Oh,
so it would be different. Yeah.
What about this concept? And again, I told you, I know just enough to be scary. What about this concept of, hey, if I give you $1 million, I'd become an executive producer.
Yeah, I'd love
that.
Is that
still a real thing?
Yeah, if you're listening and you're thinking, hey, John, I want to give you $1 million to make your next movie, yes, please, let's do that. I would love for you to be the executive producer of my film. Yeah, yeah, that exists for sure.
Okay, mm-hmm. you do get perks there, right? You get to sit on the set and eat craft services,
hobnob with
and
all
have
the
your
count,
name
all
on
the talent.
on the thing.
For
there.
Sure, yeah, definitely
on the posters.
Yeah, our biggest investors in on Earth have executive producer credits on that film.
Okay,
and they're on the poster and all the marketing and all that stuff. Yeah.
We always talk when you come on about the Erie Film Society and kind of the assets that are coming to bear, mm-hmm. both personnel and equipment. Does that continue to grow and become more and more state of the art, I should say?
Yeah, for sure. I'm glad you brought that up. The Film Society of Northwestern Pennsylvania. We are actually going through a bit of a revamp right now. We have a very ambitious board that's working to specifically help the industry of filmmaking here in Erie. They're starting to take meetings with the film office in Philadelphia and Pittsburgh, and we're looking for funding options for a proper film office here in downtown as well, because it's all, honestly, it speaks the same language as tourism. It's mm-hmm. it's really, you know, about hotel rooms, about, you know, restaurants. It's about, you know, hiring people.
It's an economic development thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and filmmaking is such an inclusive industry. I mean, we touch basically all of the arts. Plus, like I said before, you know, you also have the technical skills of, you know, carpentry, electric, things like that too. So, yeah, so we are, you'll probably be hearing a lot more about the Film Society and the greater Erie Film Office, I'd imagine, in the next year or two.
And believe me, you haven't lived until you're a key grip or a best boy.
That's right.
Right. Which I'm pretty sure the best boy refers to the electrician, right? Am I right?
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. That's right, Joel. That's right.
Talk about some of your work with Chronicles. Do you have another gig coming up with that?
No, I don't. Chronicles is, man, they are really rolling. Right?
Yeah, they
Chronicles
are.
is so impressive. I mean, they have a well-oiled machine there and a great team of talent.
Okay.
And, yeah, they're doing it.
Okay.
They're doing it.
You did the Lake Erie as Our Kin, right?
Lake Erie Our Kin, which was great. We have a new edit of that, which has kind of an updated ending that we've been showing at community screenings and at colleges. We actually have an event coming up in March at Allegheny College, and Melissa Troutman and I, my co-director, we've been going to those events and doing Q&As and stuff. We had one in Edinburgh. We had one at ECAT. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Yeah, the film is that was a great opportunity. I learned so much making that film. I hope I get to make more environmental documentaries in the future.
I was going to say, is the documentary a form that kind of jazzes you? Did you like the research?
Yeah, I liked the research, and I liked trying to do some different things with the medium. You know, we told that film story in some unique ways. You know, we did have a dance component there as well. We had the watercolor artists. So, yeah. Just trying to, you know, stand out and shake things up a little bit. It was fun.
Well, absolutely. And again, that's another indicator of the health of the filmmaking business around here is to be able to even pull that off. Because there was a day that we would bring in crews from Cleveland or Pittsburgh to to do something of an eerie kind of documentary or even a corporate film kind of thing, right?
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. Yeah, the talent pool here is growing. Now the challenge is to keep people here, to have that support network, to have that funding is honestly super important, because we have the talent. They want to work. They want to make art. But film is not a cheap art form. It's actually the most expensive art form, so we need the support. The investment, it returns, though, for sure. Like the Pennsylvania Film Tax Credit, returns by, I don't remember what the multiplier is now off the top of my head, but it's been very beneficial for the state of Pennsylvania. And Erie is, you know, in on that as well. We just need filmmakers to have the resources to be able to make their stories here too.
How aggressive is like the state film office in you know, pitch? I mean, it's almost like pitching to a site selector.
For sure.
You're pitching to the major directors or the producers are saying, hey, we've got every look that you would ever want to have in that little corner of our state in Erie. You want to look desolate? We've got Presque Isle in the wintertime. You want to have urban? You want to have gritty? We have the city of Erie.
Yeah.
You want to have rural? We've got Waterford. And
can we sign you up, Joel? Can we sign you up on the staff?
I'm, you know, it jazzes me of all the things. And but again, they're going to be looking for, hey, how hard is it to fly into the town, right?
That's a challenge. That doesn't help.
No.
Yeah.
And they're going to want to know that if you know, that I can get a good sound guy, that I mean, all those things that you deal with when you try to make a movie here.
Yeah, very important. Yeah, that's, if you think about your budget and your bottom line, flying people into a Cleveland or a Pittsburgh or a Buffalo and then driving them is more affordable than flying them directly into Erie, and that adds time. Like all of this stuff affects it. So
there's
yes.
All right, we're at 4:45.
Wow.
And so it's time to talk Oscars.
Yeah.
And I can't help but try to sing Billy Crystal, Oscar, Oscar, who will
win? I miss
win?
Billy Crystal.
Oh my gosh, yes. He should have stayed timeless, right?
Yes.
All right. I don't know a ton of these movies, John, but I'm hoping that you could bring your expertise to the Oscars. And first off, what about the scuttlebutt about Greta not getting Best Director or Margot not getting a leading lady?
This is going to be a non-popular opinion, right? Like, but you can tell how I'm going to answer. I appreciate the messages in Barbie. I do not think it was a good film.
Oh, whoa.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry. A half hour in, I was pretty worn out and I thought it was pretty silly.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. Like, again,
I'm glad I didn't spend my $7.50.
Well, no, there's so many people probably listening to this that are like, oh, come on. That's
they're throwing
the best
shoes
movie
at the radio. You
Yeah. So, and I love all of Greta Gerwig's work and Margot Robbie's work and Ryan Gosling's work. I don't think it's an Oscar film. I think it's a popular film.
But it did get a Best Picture nomination, right?
It did.
Okay, so you were skeptical about that.
They did the Barbenheimer.
Yes.
I think the other half of that equation is the most important film of our time, Oppenheimer.
Oppenheimer, the most important film of our time.
Yeah, I think we need to be reminded of the message of the bomb in these days in civilization.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So do you think Cillian Murphy is a strong actor?
Oh,
we've got Bradley Cooper, Coleman Domingo from Rustin. We've got Paul Giamatti from The Holdovers.
I would say personally.
And Jeffrey Wright from American Fiction.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. I haven't seen American Fiction yet. I would go Paul Giamatti.
Okay.
I think I've said this also. I'm always wrong on the Oscars.
Yeah.
My personal feelings. But I feel like Paul Giamatti, The Holdovers was a great film. It was kind of a return to collaboration with him and the director of Sideways. Do you remember Sideways?
Yeah, I do. With the drinking and who's the tall blonde guy.
Yeah, I can't remember his name either. Yeah. But yeah, I think Paul Giamatti, if not him, I would say, probably Cillian Murphy. I mean, he's solid. Everyone's solid in that movie.
I thought it was Benedict Cumberbatch at first glance. Like,
okay.
Another you know, vehicle for Benedict. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the fella that played Scarecrow in the Batman movies.
Yep.
Super scary in Batman.
Yes. Yeah, he's a great actor.
Yeah.
He's a really great actor. And Christopher Nolan loves him. He's been in a lot of his movies.
What do you think about Christopher Nolan?
I think he's fantastic.
My understanding is he's an incredibly organized and super technical director.
You get that, too. Yeah, and you get that with probably why he was drawn to Oppenheimer, too. You know, it's all about trying to control.
It's nuclear science.
Yeah, Prometheus, you know. Yeah, I mean, it totally makes sense. It was a great movie for him. And actually, he brought more warmth into this movie and kind of romance than you've ever seen in any of his movies, which has kind of been a knock on him for a little bit, that he's kind of cold with characters.
Interesting, yeah.
But this one, I think, was great. It's his home run. I've loved all of his movies except for Tenet, which was his previous one. I just don't think it worked.
Okay. Yeah.
This one
I didn't
works.
See that one. Wow. All right.
What
so,
else you want to talk
all right,
about?
Might as well go with do you think it's Robert Downey Jr. in Oppenheimer for supporting role? You've got Mark Ruffalo, Poor Things, Ryan Gosling, Barbie, Robert De Niro, Killers of the Flower Moon, and Sterling K. Brown for American Fiction.
My personal favorite movie probably from last year is Poor Things. And Mark Ruffalo, he's never done a role like that, and he really went all for it. Him and Emma Stone are fantastic in that movie. But I think Robert Downey Jr. is probably going to win.
I think the Golden Globes was probably an indicator on that one. Let's go with actress in a leading role. I know we're doing these out of order, but this is how the Academy has them listed. Annette Bening and Nyad. I saw that one. She was tough. I mean,
that's on Netflix.
I mean, yeah. I mean, you know, Annette Bening, she is basically Hollywood gold, a beautiful woman. They made her look as unattractive as they could be.
Okay.
Getting stung by jellyfish as she's trying to swim from Cuba to Florida.
Okay.
Anyway, Lily Gladstone, Killers of the Flower Moon, Sandra Hohler, Academy of the Fall, Carrie Mulligan, Maestro, and Emma Stone, Poor Things.
This one's really tough. I also really loved Killers of the Flower Moon. I'm going to say it's probably going to go to Lily Gladstone for Killers of the Flower Moon. But man, these are all fantastic actresses. Carrie Mulligan has not done a bad performance ever. And like I said,
she just enwraps.
She's just great. She's,
I mean, like,
just
I just totally believe. And I loved her in The Fablemans too, right?
Yeah.
You know, so.
I would say Lily Gladstone, maybe Emma Stone as the spoiler. Poor Things she's completely.
Has Emma won one already?
Yeah.
For what? Do you remember?
Was it La La Land?
Maybe. Yeah.
Maybe.
She was fantastic.
Yeah.
All right, actress in a supporting role, Emily Blunt, Oppenheimer, Daniel Brooks, The Color Purple, America Fiera, Barbie, Jodie Foster, Nyad, and Divine Joy Randolph in The Holdovers.
This one's tough. I'd say maybe Emily Blunt in Oppenheimer Joy Randolph in The Holdovers, maybe.
Do you feel like Oscars go for kind of the crowd favorite?
Yeah, the Oscars are going to give it to. So again, I always get these wrong. The Oscars are just going to give it to America Ferrera.
You think? Okay, I mean that would be the
weak,
politically
weak,
correct,
very weak role.
Choice.
She has one good speech. She's going
to
get it.
Let's see if we can get to directing here. And again, this was the big brouhaha because Greta Gerwig wasn't involved here, but Justin Triet for Anatomy of a Fall, Martin Scorsese for Killers of the Flower Moon, Christopher Nolan, Oppenheimer, Yorgos Lanthimos, Poor Things, and Jonathan Glazer for The Zone of Interest.
This one's super tough. It's a big deal that Anatomy of a Fall, which is an international film, was nominated for best feature and for directing. Like, it's a really, really solid film. This is tough. I would love to see Yorgos Lanthimos get it for Poor Things. I think it's going to go to Oppenheimer. It's going to go to Christopher Nolan.
Yeah.
It'll be his first. No.
Okay, yeah, again, he's done pop culture movies, and so this is the one.
I think this is the one that this is like an Academy movie. I feel like, you know, he's, like you said, he's done Batman, the big popcorn movies. This was like his crossover series movie. He should get it.
But yeah, I think they owe him it.
Yeah.
I think you're right.
It's probably going to go to maybe the spoiler, Jonathan Glazer. We'll see.
Whoa.
The Holocaust movie.
Yeah.
That's a strong one, The Zone of Interest. We'll see.
Do you have a favorite music song? The Fire Inside.
No.
I'm Just Ken. And never, there's two songs in Barbie.
One it's probably going to be a Barbie.
I think it's going to be Billie Eilish. What was I made?
Was that
for
a Barbie one?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go.
Everybody loves Billie. All right. Best Picture. American Fiction. Anatomy of the Fall. Barbie. The Holdovers. Killers of the Flower Moon. Maestro. Oppenheimer. Past Lives. Poor Things. And The Zone of Interest. First off, I don't like that they expanded this thing to 10 movies, but whatever.
I love that they expanded because otherwise you would not get things like Past Lives, which is also one of my favorite movies of last year, a very tiny independent film.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't get things like Anatomy of a Fall or probably The Holdovers nominated. So I'm happy that they expanded it, even though that means they'll include things like Barbie.
Okay.
I'm going to be such a Barbie hater after this interview. I really hope it goes to Oppenheimer.
Okay.
But I would be happy with it going to any film on this list except one.
Except Barbie. Okay.
I didn't say it. Yeah. But honestly, I recommend people check out all of these films. They are really, really solid pieces of filmmaking. Great work.
Last question, last 30 seconds with John C. Lyons here. Where's filmmaking at? I mean, are you happy with all the technology and all the things, all the distribution points? Is American cinema in a good place?
I think American cinema. Oh, you said I have like 30 seconds
to
answer this
question.
We're in another period of transition, I feel. And where it goes from here will be somewhere different and exciting. I think the technology has given us opportunity to hear from more voices than we have before and more outlets to see art that's in film. So I'm always hopeful for the future.
Always, better days ahead, maybe.
Yeah.
You've been listening to The Joel Natale Show, Erie, Pennsylvania's daily podcast from TalkErie.com. Subscribe to our show on your favorite podcatcher and get involved by emailing Joel at TalkErie.com.